Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Old radio.
Comedy Podcast.
Welcome to episode 7 of season 4 of the Old Radio Comedy Podcast. Hans Conried was a prolific actor of stage and radio and screen. He got a start on radio in 1937 on a broadcast of The Taming of the Shrew on KECA in L.A. This led to many more appearances in the 40s, including as a regular on Orson Welles' Ceiling Unlimited, The Burns and Allen Show, Life with Luigi, My Friend Irma, My Favorite Husband, and many, many others. He also appeared as a cast member on numerous Dr. Seuss specials and Walt Disney shows. He was Snidely Whiplash and Dudley Do-Right, Wally Walrus on The Woody Woodpecker Show, and Captain Hook in Peter Pan. From the 50s through the 70s, he appeared on TV in Make Room for Daddy, Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color, I Love Lucy, The Beverly Hillbillies, Gilligan's Island, The Lucy Show, Laverne and Shirley, Mr. Ed, and dozens more. He was a regular on Jack Parr's Tonight Show. He hosted Fractured Flickers and regularly appeared on Take a Good Look, as well as being a regular in The Tony Randall Show. He also was in several Broadway productions and several films, such as The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T. Hans Conried died in 1982, age 64. In addition to the September 24, 1948 broadcast of My Favorite Husband, starring Hans Conried as Rudolf Atterbury, we also bring you a little bonus today, the famous and arguably best comedy sketch of all time, Who's on First? By Abbott and Costello from 1944. We first featured this in season 1 of the podcast, but due to all of the requests I've been receiving in the last couple of years, I'm bringing it to you again so you don't have to sort through 300 plus past episodes of the podcast to find it. Also, if you want even more old-time radio shows, check out the links in the episode description below and check out a few of my favorite YouTube OTR channels. The Late Late Horror Show and its sister comedy OTR channel Dino's Duck Soup, as well as Hearth and Home Nostalgia. They put out regular, long-running compilations of old-time radio in various genres and live streams of your favorite old-time radio shows. So I hope you'll check them out. Now sit back and enjoy.
We present My Favorite Husband, a new series based on the delightful stories of Isabel Scott Rorick's gay and sophisticated Mr. and Mrs. Cougar, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. Ten years ago, Elizabeth Elliot decided to marry an eligible bachelor. So she picked handsome, man-about-town George Cugat, because, as Liz put it,
George was the most eligible bachelor eligible.
Well, since their marriage, neither Liz nor George has said much about children. But then, children have never said much about them either. Now, that's because they don't have any. Children, I mean. In fact, the only time it ever came up was when they returned from their honeymoon and George was showing Liz around their new house.
Wait a minute, George. What's this little bedroom here?
Well, I kind of thought it would look cute and pink and blue with nursery rhymes on the walls. But we can fix it up temporarily as a maid's room.
What do you mean, temporarily as a maid's room?
Well, someday we may want a couple of little ones.
You mean a couple of little maids instead of one big one?
Well, that was, as I say, 10 years ago. So today, Mr. and Mrs. Cugat are still just two people who live together and like it. Lucille Ball is Liz with Richard Denning as George in My Favorite Husband. It is morning at the Cugat house. Katie, the maid, has gone out to the mailbox to see if the postman left any ads or blotters, and Liz is cooking breakfast, and George is still upstairs dressing. Well, finally, Liz goes to the foot of the stairs and calls.
George!
Yes, darling?
I've got your breakfast ready. The toast is burned just the way you like it.
Okay, I'll be right down.
Oh, Mrs. Cugat,
Yes, Katie?
Why does Mr. Cougat like burnt toast?
I don't know. He developed a taste for it after we were married.
Good morning, Liz, darling. Morning, Katie.
Morning, Mr. Cougat.
George, aren't you going to kiss me this morning?
On an empty stomach?
Certainly. Give me a kiss.
I'm fresh out.
Oh, come on, George. You must have an old kiss lying around somewhere.
Okay. There. How's that?
That wasn't just lying around. It was dead.
That had all the zip of the old George Cougat.
Well, the old George Cougat better get a new zipper. What are you laughing about, Katie?
I was just thinking about my first husband, Clarence. Now, there was a kisser.
Good?
No, ugly.
Come on, George, your breakfast is ready.
Oh, so am I. Where's the morning paper, Katie?
George, are you going to bury yourself in that paper again this morning?
Oh, I just want to look at the financial page and see how the stock market is doing.
Oh, here it is, Mr. Cougar.
Oh, thanks, Katie. Let's see now. Amalgamated Copper, Fisk Tires. AT&T is down 2 points. I'd better get some. TP&L is down 1 point. Well, I'd better get some. SFO&P is down 3 points. I'd better get some. What's the matter?
BVD is down 2 cents. You need some.
Liz, you've been looking.
You've been showing. Here's an item about Jane Kendall. I have to get her something, George. She's expecting her baby.
Yeah, baby.
I don't want to have any of that last-minute rushing.
Yeah, rushing.
You know, having a baby must be pretty tough.
Yeah, pretty tough.
George, are you listening to me?
Oh, sure, Liz. Every word.
What did I say?
Say? Why, you said those Russians are pretty tough babies. Didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh. Tough Russians or pretty babies?
Wrong again.
Pretty Russian babies are tough?
Never mind.
Yugoslav babies?
Never mind. If you weren't lost in that financial page, you'd hear what I said.
Well, but Liz, in my business, it's important that I know what's happening in the stock market. I have to keep an eye on the bulls and the bears so that some wolf in sheep's clothing doesn't make me the goat. After all, I work in a bank.
Sounds like the Chicago Stockyards. I don't see what's so wonderful about that financial page. It bores me stiff. I haven't the slightest interest in finances.
Well, that's because you're not in business, darling. Say, was there any mail this morning?
Katie!
Yes, ma'am?
Was there any mail this morning?
Just the morning mail.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
Is that all? One letter?
That's all, Mr. Cougat. But the people next door got a lot of mail this morning. Shall I go over and borrow some?
Don't bother, Katie. Open the letter, George. It's probably from someone who's on their vacation. All of our friends are out of town. Let's see now. Who do we know that went to the mountains or the seashore?
It's from Barkley Brothers Department Store.
Oh, it can't be.
Why not?
Well, who do we know that would spend their vacation at a department store?
Nobody. But we do know somebody who would run up a bill there last month of $250, don't we, Liz? Liz?
What's new on the financial page, George?
Liz.
Oh, come on, George. Tell me about the bears and the bulls again, George. George, will you, George?
Huh? Liz, this is serious. You went over your allowance again, didn't you?
Yes, George.
Oh, Liz. What am I going to do with you?
Raise my allowance?
I can't raise your allowance. I didn't get that mortgage deal with that real estate woman in Florida.
Oh.
Old man Atterbury must have found out about it because I didn't get that raise.
Well, tell him you can't raise a wife and children on your salary.
Well, but Liz, Mr. Atterbury knows we don't have any children.
Well, then tell him we're expecting some on the next boat.
Boat from where?
Wherever children come from.
Had a talk with your mother lately, Liz?
Of course.
What did she say?
She gave me a book to read.
You know, what was the name of it?
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Well, that ought to do the trick. Liz, there's only one sensible thing for us to do.
I knew you'd think of something, George.
We've got to live within our means. Mm-hmm. Stick to our budget.
Wonderful idea. It's not only sensible, it's impossible.
It's really very simple, Liz.
How?
Well, just don't charge things we don't need.
Sounds simple, doesn't it?
Of course.
George, from now on, I promise I won't charge a thing we don't need.
Good.
I'll pay cash for it.
Why, Mrs. Cugat, I didn't know you could knit.
Neither did I, Katie. How do you like it?
Oh, it's adorable. What is it?
Baby booties. They're for Mrs. Kendall.
Well, do you think they'll fit her?
Katie, Mrs. Kendall's going to have a baby.
Oh, are you going to be there?
No, she's just having the family and a few close doctors.
Mrs. Cugat, wouldn't it be easier for you to buy Mrs. Kendall some baby booties instead of getting all tangled up in that yarn?
Yes, Katie, but I'm trying to help Mr. Cugat save some money. And baby booties cost $5 a pair.
Well, how much did all this yarn cost?
$10, but that's for 5 balls.
But you won't need 5 balls of yarn to make 1 pair of baby booties.
Well, I'm using the rest to make a sweater to match.
To match the booties?
No, a sweater to match the skirt I picked up for $29.95.
I think it's wonderful of you to help Mr. Cugat save that way.
Hmm. Well, the only trouble is I had to charge all this stuff, so I think it would be better if we just didn't say anything about it, Katie.
I understand, Mrs. Cugat.
He'll probably laugh when he finds out that I've learned to knit.
Yes, but he'll stop when he finds out how much it costs.
Oh, I better hide this knitting.
Hey, anybody home?
Oh, it's only Corey.
Yes, mankind's gift to womankind.
In the living room, Corey.
Hi, Liz. It's Corey Cartwright, that gay dog.
Throw him a bone, Katie.
Oh, I'm not in the mood for jokes, Liz.
I'll put your hat in the hall, Mr. Cartwright.
What's the matter, Corey?
I met the most beautiful girl at a beautiful party in a beautiful penthouse last night.
Didn't you have fun?
Yes, the beautiful girl and I spent a beautiful evening looking at the beautiful moon.
Sounds beautiful.
Not quite.
Why?
She had an ugly husband.
What was his name?
I don't know. He never did catch me.
Corey, what makes you so fickle?
Well, I'm not fickle, Liz. I just can't make up my mind.
Well, sooner or later, the right girl will come along, and then you'll settle down, and she'll be knitting these.
Liz, am I seeing things? Are you knitting baby things?
Yes, baby booties.
Liz, you mean... You? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I didn't know you'd be that interested.
Interested? Of course I'm interested. Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
Why, I had no idea.
Neither did I. In fact, I was just telling Katie I didn't know I could do it myself.
Of course you can, Liz. I think every married woman should.
You do?
Certainly.
What's marriage got to do with it?
But good old George, he hasn't said a word about this, Liz.
Well, good old George doesn't know about it.
I'll bet George... I beg your pardon?
George doesn't know about it, and don't you tell him.
But why? Shouldn't he know?
No, Mr. Atterbury didn't give him his raise, and this wasn't on our budget, so I had to charge it.
There are payments for everything these days. But really, Liz, don't you think you should tell him?
No, he'd only worry about the budget. And besides, if George found out about this, he'd want me to take it back.
Yes, Cartwright. Well, I'm glad you did call me. I had no idea Mrs. Cugat was expecting a bundle of joy. Yeah, no wonder he's been wanting a raise. Oh, yeah, sure, I agree with you. Yeah, I'll call him into my office right away. Thanks for calling, Cartwright. Goodbye. Well, so young Cugat's finally going to have an addition to the family, eh? Wonderful, wonderful. Miss Johnson, you come into my office.
Mr. Cugat, Mr. Atterbury wants to see you right away.
Uh-oh. Has he heard about the collapse of that Florida deal?
Not that I know of. I didn't tell him.
Okay, I'll go right in. I wonder who told the old man about my failure with that real estate woman. I'll bet that's the reason he didn't give me a raise. Well, after all, it might happen to anybody.
Huh? Oh, George! George, my boy. Come in. Sit down.
Thanks.
George, I want to have a talk with you. Shall we say,
Father to son?
Well, is it about the raise I didn't get?
Yes, sort of. That is, George, I realize that you can't raise children on your salary. Of course, you don't have any children, yeah?
No, but we're expecting some on the next boat.
What?
Oh, nothing. That's just something Liz told me this morning. Look, Mr. Atterbury, I know why you called me in here.
Oh, you do?
Yes, and I just want to say that anybody can make a mistake.
A mistake?
Yes, maybe I tried too hard.
Now, my boy, you know, it isn't as easy as you think.
Then you're not angry?
Angry? Oh, on the contrary, you've got my best wishes, my boy. Oh,
thanks, Mr. Atterbury. You know, that woman had me worried for a while.
I can imagine.
She just didn't like the idea.
Well, women are funny sometimes, you know?
Yeah, she wanted me to do the whole thing by myself.
But, I understood that you both wanted...
Oh, I did. She didn't.
Oh, really?
And don't forget, we were 1,000 miles from each other.
1,000 miles?
Sure, she was in Florida.
Good heavens, now wait a minute. If she was in Florida, then oh, I...
By telephone, see? The whole thing was arranged over the telephone.
Well, that settles it. George, my boy, I'm not only going to give you that raise, I'm going to pay that telephone bill.
Hello, George.
Hi, Liz. Darling, you're looking at a new man, the brand new 1948 model George Cougat.
How much did you get for the old one?
Plenty. How about a kiss?
Aren't you afraid you'll dent your fenders?
Come on, darling. How about a kiss for your hard-working husband?
Nope, not in the mood.
Since when?
This morning.
I'll bet I can make you kiss me.
I'll bet you can.
Okay.
Well, don't let me convince you.
All right. Well, first I'll put my arms around you like this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you put your arms around me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tilt your chin up. Mm-hmm. There. Now, when I say a word, you say the name of the first fruit you think of.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Okay, but I won't kiss you.
Candied.
Orange.
Baked.
Apple.
Stewed.
Pruned.
I win. You kissed me.
But you tricked me. That was a dirty, mean, low-down, underhanded trick. Trick me again, George.
You might get to like it.
George Cougat, there's only one word for a man like you.
What is it?
Prune.
Okay, scatterbrain. There.
Prune is a beautiful word, George.
Oh, wonderful word, prune.
I love you.
I love you too, Liz. Guess what happened at the office today?
I don't know. Sit down and tell me all about it.
Well, old man Atterbury called me in and... Hey, Liz, what's this?
What's what?
Well, it's knitted stuff behind the chair.
Knitted stuff, George?
Yeah. Looks like baby shoes.
Oh, that. Probably dust balls.
Liz, knitted dust balls?
Oh, you may not know it, George, but we had the best-looking dust balls in town.
Well, wait a minute. There's a whole lot of yarn down in here, too. Look, what is it, Liz?
All right, Sherlock, you win. They're baby booties.
Baby booties?
Mm-hmm.
Liz, you mean you?
Didn't think I could do it, did you?
Well, sure, but Liz, darling, this is wonderful.
I thought it was pretty good myself.
Well, gosh, honey, why didn't you tell me?
I was afraid you'd be sore. I charged all that yarn to our account, and I went over our budget again.
Oh, all this yarn to make one pair of baby booties?
Hmm.
Oh, what are you going to do with the rest of it?
Why,
Well, what, Liz?
Well, make more baby booties.
More?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good night. How many will you need?
Well, you never can tell, George. It might be triplets.
Triplets?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cats. I told old man Atterbury we were expecting some on the next boat. I didn't know the fleet was in.
Mr. Cougat's fainted.
Well, what happened, Mrs. Cougat?
I don't know. He said something about the fleets in, then he sank. George, can you hear me?
Oh.
George, this is Liz. This is Liz. Oh,
glad to know you, Liz. I'm George.
Oh, I think he's coming too, Mrs. Cougar.
Yeah, come on, George.
Oh, where am I?
You're in bed.
Oh, good night, Liz.
Come on, George, sit up. Up, Daisy, that's it.
What happened?
You fainted, Magnolia Blossom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but Liz, you're the one that should be in bed, not me.
Now, just stay where you are, George. You're as pale as a ghost.
How did I get up here?
Katie and I carried you.
She carried, Mr. Cougat. I dragged. You put on a little weight since the last time we carried you upstairs.
Oh, Liz, you shouldn't be lifting anything heavy now, especially upstairs.
Well, Katie helped.
Who brought me in here?
Katie and I.
Who put me to bed?
Katie and I.
Liz.
What's the matter?
Who put on my pajamas?
That brought the color back to his cheeks, Mrs. Cougar.
Katie went downstairs, George.
Oh. And I brought back this. Here, Mr. Cougar, take a sip of this brandy. It'll make you feel better.
Are you sure that's brandy, Katie?
Yes, ma'am.
Remember the last time I fainted, you got hold of Mr. Cougar's bottle of Vitalis.
My Vitalis?
It went down all right, but I had to give my stomach a 60-second workout.
Oh, don't worry, ma'am. This is brandy all right.
You're sure?
Yes, ma'am. Positive.
Oh, darn it, Corey. I haven't been able to do any work all day. Look at the stuff piled up on my desk.
So Liz finally told you about the baby, huh, George?
Well, not exactly, but when I found those baby booties, she could hardly deny it. But she doesn't seem too interested.
That's the way women are, George. You have to be very understanding at a time like this.
Mm.
Why don't you try to draw it out of her? Hint around. Maybe she'll confess.
Well, I tried that already. But she acted like she didn't even know what I was talking about.
Why? What did you say to her?
Oh, I told her I understood that women who are expecting a baby get peculiar desires for food. So Liz said what kind of food, and I said kiddingly, oh, like ice cream and melted cheese poured over and a dill pickle on the top.
What did Liz say?
Well, she just said, what's peculiar about that?
That sounds like something Liz would say.
I think I'll call her and see how she feels.
Go ahead. You've only called her about 30 times today.
Hello, Katie. How's Mrs. Cougat feeling, Katie? What? The hospital?
What's the matter, George?
Oh, Liz has gone to the hospital.
Already?
Hello, Katie. Which hospital did she go to? Yeah? Yeah? To phone her there? Well, I'll do better than that. I'll go over there. Goodbye, Katie.
Now, keep calm, George. Getting excited won't help any.
Yeah, keep calm. You're right, Corey. Don't get excited. Where's my hospital? I mean, where's my hat?
Now, wait a minute, George. Keep calm. I'll go with you. Now, don't get excited.
Okay. I'm calm. Let's go.
All right, but you can't go that way.
What way?
With a telephone on your head.
Oh.
Thanks a million for coming to the hospital with me, Liz. It was wonderful of you.
Well, you're welcome, Jane, honey. I'm only glad I could do something to help.
You have. Norman was so worried. He's read so many stories in the paper about taxi drivers having to stop on the way to the hospital because the baby arrived ahead of time.
I wonder if they leave the meter running when that happens.
Oh, you make me feel good, Liz, when I probably should be feeling horrible.
Do I, honey?
I guess you're always a little anxious with the first one.
Well, you haven't anything to worry about, Jane. You'll be all right. And when it's all over, you'll realize that this has been a very wonderful experience for you. Something you wouldn't take $1 million for.
Do you think you could stay with me, Liz? I mean,
Until the baby arrives? Of course, honey. I wouldn't think of leaving.
Thanks. Norman should be here pretty soon.
What do you want, Jane? A boy or a girl?
Well, I'd sort of like a little girl.
How about Norman?
Oh, he says he just wants a boy or a girl.
Well, I hope he isn't disappointed.
J. George, are you sure this is the right hospital?
I don't know. Wait here, Corey. I'll ask that nurse at the desk. I beg your pardon, nurse.
Yes?
Do you have babies here?
Yes.
This is the place, Corey.
Okay.
Is there something I can do for you?
No, thanks. My wife's doing it.
Your wife?
Mrs. Cougott. I'm Mr. Cougott. We have the same name.
That's understandable.
Is she here?
Yes, she is, Mr. Cougott. But you can't see her now. She left a message for you.
Oh, what is it?
She said to tell you that she's decided to stay at the hospital until the baby arrives.
Oh. Will you give her a message for me?
Certainly.
Just tell her I think that she's made a wise decision.
George, don't you think you should go home and wait until you hear from Liz, like the nurse told you?
Oh, of course, Corey, but I have to get this stuff before I go home.
Well, isn't it a little premature?
Of course not. I want to be ready.
But look at all the stuff you bought already. Electric trains, baseball bat, drum and bugle, football helmet, boxing gloves.
Maybe I should get him a football, too.
George, do you realize that a newborn infant can't even stand up, much less play football? Why don't you get it a rattle?
A rattle? Oh, rattles are for kids. My son is going to play right tackle for Princeton.
I hope he's in shape. They play their first game next week.
Now, Corey, let's not be silly about this kid.
No, let's not be that.
Obviously, he can't play right tackle with Princeton next week.
Oh, obviously.
He doesn't know the signals.
George, now, suppose it isn't a boy. Suppose it's a girl.
Girl? Oh, no, it can't be a girl. Liz wouldn't do that to me.
Liz hasn't got anything to say about it.
What do you mean, Liz hasn't got anything to say about it? She's its mother.
Yeah, but how can Liz make the child be a boy or a girl?
Well, she has to learn to discipline it sometime.
Hello, Katie.
Oh, Mrs. Cougott. Did Mrs. Kendall have her baby?
Yes, she did. Is Mr. Cougott home?
Yes, ma'am. He and Mr. Cartwright are in the study and acting mighty strange, if you ask me.
Oh, really? I'll go in. Will dinner be ready soon?
Yes, ma'am, in about a half hour.
George! Oh, George! What in the name of... George!
Look out, Corey. Here comes the Eastbound Express. Woo! Liz, darling.
Hi, Liz.
Liz, what are you doing home so soon?
What do you mean soon? It's after 7. Oh,
yeah, but what about the baby?
It was born an hour ago.
An hour ago?
Sure.
But how'd you get out of the hospital?
I walked out. How do you think?
Oh, but didn't the doctor say anything to you?
Yes, he said goodbye.
Well, I knew medical science had made progress, but I didn't know it was anything like this.
What about the baby, Liz? What is it?
It's a boy.
A boy? Oh, what did I tell you, Corey? Oh, Liz, who does he look like?
He looks like Norman Kendall.
Yeah, I knew it. Who?
Norman Kendall. Who'd you expect him to look like? You?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. Well, after all, I am his father.
What? Now, listen.
Excuse me, Mrs. Cougott. The hospital just phoned to tell you that it was twins.
Twins?
Oh, give me time. I just became the father of a boy.
This one's a girl.
Congratulations, George. Now you're a mother, too.
Oh, Liz, darling, why didn't you tell me Jane and Norman Kendall were expecting a baby?
I told you the other morning at breakfast, but you were too busy reading the financial page.
Oh. That reminds me. Where's the evening paper?
I'm sitting on it.
Sitting on it? Why?
Because I want to tell you about Mitzi, and I don't want you to get me mixed up with Mitzi like you did with Jane.
All right. What is it?
Mrs. Jordan says Mitzi is expecting.
Who's Mitzi?
Her cocker spaniel.
Thank you.
George, are you asleep?
Not yet.
Can I sit on the side of your bed?
Sure.
There. Isn't this cozy?
Mm-hmm.
George, your bed's higher than mine.
Maybe it's because you're sitting on my stomach.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. Is that better?
Much.
George?
Yes, Liz.
I'll bet I can make you kiss me.
I'll bet you can't.
All right. First, I put my arms around you.
Mm-mm. But I won't bite on this. I taught it to you.
Now, tilt your chin up like this. Now, ready?
Yeah. I'm ready, but I won't bite.
Candied orange.
Mm-mm.
Baked apple.
Mm-mm.
Stewed... Oh, darn, what is that other word?
Oh, you mean prune?
Mm-hmm.
Liz, you tricked me.
Good night, George.
My Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Now back to ABC's Abbott and Costello Show.
Where are you going?
Well, as you know, I have a baseball team. By the way, Costello, why don't you come along and play on the team?
You mean it?
Sure, why not? That's a good idea, Abbott, but I don't think I know any of the players. I mean, after all, you see some of these guys on the team I'd like to know.
Well,
if I'm going to join your team, here we go.
Well, I'll introduce...
Hello, Abbott. I'd like to know what's this here.
I'll introduce the boys to you. Suppose it's that.
You tell me who's playing on your team.
You know, strange as it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names. You know, like Dizzy Dean and
Daffy
Dean.
I'm your cousin.
Who are you?
Goofy,
eh?
Yep.
Well, now, let's see. We have on the bag. We have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
Are you the fellow that knows all the players?
I certainly.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
Now, what are you asking me for?
I'm telling you who is on first.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who is on first?
Have you got a contract with the first baseman?
Absolutely.
Who signed the contract?
Well, naturally. It's no good unless he signed it.
It's no good unless who signed it?
No.
So who signed it?
Absolutely.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar. Why not? The man's entitled to it.
Who is?
Yes.
So who gets it?
Absolutely. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is, what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Don't switch him around. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. Now, we're not talking...
Now, how do I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mention the third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Never mind first. I don't know. What's the guy's name on third?
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go. Third base and don't go off it.
What is it, you?
Now, who's playing third base?
Now, why do you insist on putting who on third base?
Now, who am I putting over there?
Yes, but we don't want him there.
What's the guy's name belongs on third?
What belongs on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got an outfield?
Oh, yes, yes.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask you.
I just thought I'd tell you.
All right, then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing?
Stay out of the infield.
What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Is that field's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. As well as I do.
Look, you got a pitcher on the team?
Now, wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now, listen, who is not pitching?
I'll
who
break is... your arm, you say. Who's on first?
Go ahead. Have
it. I'll what's the pitcher's name?
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
You got a pitcher?
Well, absolutely.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today.
And tomorrow's pitch.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the team.
I can't help that.
You know, I'm going to catch it, too.
I know that.
I'll get you hired to play through some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and the heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Tomorrow throws the ball, the guy puts the ball. When he puts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'll throw the guy out of first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
Is to throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball at first base, somebody's got to catch it. Now, who caught it?
Naturally.
Who caught it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yes.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No. You throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's right. Now we're talking.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
You don't.
I throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not saying it that way.
I said I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Well, say that.
That's what I'm saying. I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's...
Same as you. I throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
Who has it?
Naturally.
He better have it. Whoever it is drops the ball, so the guy runs to second. Who picks up the ball, throws to what? What throws to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up, and it's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn.
What was that?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Be sure to tune in next time, my friends, for another classic comedy radio show. I'm Greg Fordyce.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for...